Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is November 29th, year 2009. It's the first Sunday in Advent. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forever and ever. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now I'm going to be reading from my book, End Time Signs. Some of these are my different articles that I wrote at different times in the past as it relates. And today, as you notice, our Lord was talking about, he gave us certain physical signs about the end of the world is approaching and all the catastrophes. All those signs are there. My purpose of the sermon today is not to go over that. I've done that in the past and I'll continue to do that in the future. Certainly we do have all those signs. And those signs are our Holy Catholic faith, which is being denied. That's the ultimate way that we know that we're living in a great apostasy. That's how we know these apostate anti-popes in Rome are not true popes, because of our Holy Catholic faith, because of our dogmas, and because of the people that are denying these dogmas. Those are the ultimate and foremost and most important signs. Because if I did all the miracles in the world, and I, as Moses says in Deuteronomy 13, 1-3, if a prophet arises amongst you, and he foretells a sign. And what he foretells comes to pass, but he says, let us go follow after strange gods. You shall not follow that prophet. For the Lord God trieth you to see whether you love him with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole mind or not. So the most important part as to the way you judge whether a sign is true or false anyway is the Catholic faith. It is our dogmas. Our dogmas right now that are being denied throughout the whole world by nominal Catholics, and that means not true Catholics, but they call themselves Catholics, are sufficient for people to know that these people aren't Catholics, that they're heretics, or they're apostates, or even some of them are also schismatics on top of it. Okay? Dogmas. Those are the ultimate signs. I wrote that for this, to try to get these sign and wonder seekers' mind on the most important thing, which is our holy dogmas. And I talk about the sign and wonder seekers are charismatic-y people, and they really hate the faith and the dogmas and the commandments. They really do. If you ever met them, they're very carnal, they're full of all kinds of immoralities and all kinds of pride. And whenever you start talking about dogmas, they say, oh, that's too rigid. You're too strict or too many laws. They don't really, really like laws and obeying. These are charismatic sign and wonder seekers. But not everybody's like that. There's nothing wrong neither with legitimately wanting legitimate signs or miracles. We're not against that. So we're not against that. Jesus Christ did miracles for a purpose. But to get their attention is to listen to the dogmas. So I'm not against miracles. And I've spoken many times about the signs that are going to happen and all that. This was mostly directed towards the people that's all they look for. You know, they're always waiting for the latest message from Mary. And it's always a false Mary. And they're just getting these newspapers about all these messages from all these different apparitions that are, I don't even know how many are going on over the world now. And they pick it up and they're reading all these false messages from heaven that are directing them into heretical beliefs. And that's it. And they're addicted to these things. And that really takes them away from obedience to the Holy Mother Church. Because even if we had a true Pope, they wouldn't obey the true Pope or the true teachings, because they're going to the latest message from heaven. That's where I'm being guided. And if that message contradicts a dogma, I'm going to listen to the message and not the dogma. Or a true pope, or a Catholic bishop, or a Catholic priest, or a Catholic layman who's a monk. I'm not going to listen to them because Mary told me from heaven, such as some of the messages say, that Muslims are pleasing to God, that Muslims are in heaven, that Jesus is sad because there aren't more mosques on the earth. Mosques that deny Jesus as the Son of God. Second person of the Divine Trinity? How could this be from God? That's Medjugorje. That's the Bayside messages. How could Bayside in Queens said? There's many Queens, New York, that big famous one. The Blessed Mother, so-called Blessed Mother, the false Blessed Mother, said there's many mansions in heaven which represent many different religious beliefs and creeds. So you got Muslims in heaven, you got Buddhists in heaven. All these people that are denying the true God, he's letting them in heaven, and they're existing with their false beliefs. This is absolutely outrageous. Now, there you go. All right? But these people are still following these messages. Anyway, I wrote this in particular to let people put their priorities first. The most important thing is our holy Catholic faith and our dogmas. So here I start out reading. I told a woman whose family attends the Heretical and Schismatic Society St. Pius X, whose husband would not even listen, that her children have a mass to attend, but they do not have the Catholic faith. I told her, do not be fooled by outward acts of piety, by those who avoid the Catholic faith, those who do not teach, profess, and practice the full deposit of the Catholic faith. I told her that her children are in the clutches of Satan and on the road of hell. She then said to me, I will not believe until the Blessed Virgin Mary gives me a sign. I told her, you are tempting God, and it is a wicked and adulterous generation that seeks signs. You have already been given many signs, one of which is apostate anti-pope John Paul II's kissing the Quran and teaching that Muslims worship the same God as Catholics, the one true God. What more do you need? However, God in His great mercy had given this woman a sign shortly after our conversation, and it was not the one she expected. God, by the intercession and the mediation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, crusher of heretics, who this woman invoked to defend her apostasy and heresy, took her child a week later under tragic circumstances. God, by allowing the physical death of her infant, showed her the spiritual death of her infant, who is now damned to hell for all eternity, and showed her the spiritual death she's inflicting upon her other children. I'll explain it to you, and then we'll go on. What happened was, she has several different children that attend the SSP 10, and her husband was driving a tractor or something similar to that, and the one kid fell off the back of it, and he was pulling something or something, and the kid fell off of it, and it was a hayride or something, yeah, and he ran over the head of the child with his tractor wheel, the big tractor wheel, and killed his own child. The husband killed, and he attended the SSP. He was the worst when we were at this meeting. I didn't tell everything that went on there. But he was worse than the wife even. He wouldn't even listen. He tried to take his kids out of the room. I says, let them stay here. He goes, come on, kids, let's go watch a football game while they're talking. I says, no, you keep them here so they can hear what's going on with the Catholic faith. Don't take them out of the room. But he left, and he took one of the kids with him. Some of them stayed. And he went out on the balcony and wouldn't listen to what I was saying. But the mother was staying there, and she was listening. But she was tempting God. I won't believe what you say unless I get a sign and all that. Well, a week later, this thing happened. And the child fell off the back of the off the tractor, and he ran over the child's head with the wheel. So the own father crushed his own kid. And he was devastated, of course. All right, and this is what happened. All right, and then I came back to him and said, well, you got your sign. God punished you for your arrogance and for not listening to what I said. Was it a female? Yeah, we know about it. There's a couple of us in here who know. I know exactly who the person is. And some of the brothers also were down. I'm not going to tell you what state they're from or anything. Anyway, I think the child was 3 years old or something like that. All right. So that's what happened. And I told him, God's warning you that the way you physically killed this young daughter of yours, you already killed the souls of your kids by bringing them into those non-Catholic churches. It would be the same thing if you brought your kid into a Lutheran church and signed them up. An SSP 10 church is not a Catholic church because they teach heresies in that church. And this is why I wrote the letter for her, too. I mean, I didn't give her name, but I already said all these things to her when it happened. I said, you got your sign. You did tempt God. And what did he do? But I looked at it still as an act of mercy because the guy did get devastated, but I made this for them. Maybe they'll hear this now, and if they're still alive, they can repent. A similar sign can be expected for all sign and wonder seekers, and those who place the Holy Mass before the Catholic faith, because neither is primarily concerned about the Catholic faith. This was also a sign that there is a better hope that this woman will eventually respond to God's grace. God chastises those whom He loves, those in whom He sees a hope of repentance and conversion, whereas those for whom God sees there is no hope due to their obstinacy, He lets them wallow in false prosperity, false consolations, flattered by the world, with one apparent success after another, only serving to increase their pride and confidence in their damnable state. He lets them go on temporarily unpunished while living a life of faithlessness, and yet, in a little while, their day of eternal damnation will come. And in due time are given the just reward they deserve, and woe to those whom God destroys, both their body and soul, in hell. Our Lord says that, I will show you whom you shall fear. Fear ye not him that killed the body, and after that he has nothing more that he can do. Fear ye him who, after he has killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say, fear ye him. And I think I'll get that verse for you. But he's saying, fear God. That's what he's telling you. Your body's not the most important thing. It's your soul. That's what lives forever. And if your soul's not right, it's God who throws the souls into hell for all eternity. Just because you have not yet been punished in like manner, either onto the hope of amendment or utter destruction, do not think you are justified or better than this woman and her family. Quote, Luke 13, 2-5. Think you that these Galileans were sinners above all men of Galilee because they suffered such things? Or those 18 upon whom the tower fell in Silo and slew them? Think you that they also were debtors above all the men that dwelt in Jerusalem? No, I say to you, but except you do penance, you shall all likewise perish. End quote. In fact, fallen away Catholics and all sinners who have not been punished by God unto their amendment have more to fear because God may see there is no hope in their case. So he lets them run wild in their sins against the faith and morality until they fill up their cup with abominations. And then, yes, then, in a faithful and swift moment, God shall destroy their body and soul in hell. And that's Luke 12, 4-5. The wonder is that it is a wonder that after viewing all the evidence against the conciliar church and the apostate antipope John Paul II, that most fallen away Catholics don't even care in the least. And those that do sit silently by and do nothing, instead of raising their voices from the rooftops and sounding a trumpet blast. Now that is a wonder indeed. Yet they remain either in direct or indirect communion with this most evil monster, the apostate antipope John Paul II and the conciliar church. They complain and petition the serpent every time the serpent bites them, when it is they who keep reaching their hand into the serpent's den. Do they have a right to complain to God and expect His help when time and time again they return to the evil and evildoers as dogs return to their own vomit? Yes, folks, that is indeed the wonder of all wonders. That even the saints in heaven could not have imagined that the faithlessness would be as bad as it is. Quote, but yet the Son of Man, when He cometh, shall He find, think you, faith on earth? Luke 18:8. The apostate antipope John Paul II is paving the road, who is also a false prophet, is paving the road for the Antichrist by breaking down all barriers of religions, undermining the Catholic Church and faith, and preparing the world to worship the beast, the Antichrist, and his religion. It is no wonder that some see John Paul II as the Antichrist, because the forerunner, the false prophet, shares many of the same traits as the Antichrist, just as John the Baptist shared many traits of Jesus Christ. And another even more amazing wonder is that some who believe he is the Antichrist or the false prophet stay in communion with him. Imagine that, fallen angels they are, who sit on the fence thinking that to straddle the fence is acceptable to the all-or-nothing God. Now, in this case, too, at that point, you could have made a good case that he was the false prophet when he was alive. You could have. You couldn't make a good case he was the Antichrist. I proved that later. He did not fill any of the prophecies that the Antichrist needs to fulfill. But the false prophet, yes, he very well could have been. But since he's dead, he was not the false prophet. So he was a false prophet. I mentioned that in future teachings. Just like the Rat Man is a false prophet. I don't believe he's the main one either. You're going to get another guy coming out of this conciliar church who's going to be the ultimate false prophet. But my point, and this basically was, even if you believed he was the Antichrist, or as I did at that time, it was possible. And I always said he was possibly the false prophet. How could you stay in communion with him? Like the apostate Diamond Brothers. They pray in communion with him. With the Rat Man. They prayed in communion with apostate antipope John Paul II, who they believed was the Antichrist at one time. They stay in communion with the Rat Man. They go to churches, and they're one united with this guy. How can you do such a thing as that? Who are these guys working for? Have they no shame when they walk into this church week after week? You know, I put a petition out there. Well, I'm doing this real quickly anyway. I'm not out in the Northeast anymore, but anybody's out in the Northeast who understands what the Diamonds is doing, what is absolutely, completely, not only apostasy and heresy and by praying in communion with these people, but hypocritical. I would tell them to get a camera. And I don't have the ability to do this because I'm not out there, but they go to St. Jehoshaphat Church in Rochester, New York, and they attend the 11 or one of those 11 o'clock or one of those masses. Go there with a camera in the parking lot and film them when they get out of their car, when they're not wearing a religious garb and they attempt to sneak in. And then go up to them. First film them going in. And then wait for them to come out and film them coming out after. And then go up and speak to them. Now, I know some guy. I'm not going to mention guys who are living out around that area. I know some of them. They're not with us even. Yeah.
I was going to say, tell them to wait around because they go late.
They go late. Yeah, wait around because they go a little bit later. They don't go right when Mass begins. They sneak in and sneak out.
Yeah.
But I would like you to go in and just film them. And then send me the film and I'll post it. and go up and talk to them. Did you know that this guy, this church is in communion with the rat men, and he prays with them in the unicorn? Oh, blah, blah, blah. Were you praying when you were in there? Well, I wasn't praying. Then why did you go in there if you weren't praying? Did you receive communion side by side with these people at the hands of this apostate priest? Is this priest a heretic? Just do it. Just ask them. But if there's anybody out there in the Northeast, and I know some people that are out there, that are around there, you know, just go ahead and do that. You know, here these guys are. Big defenders of the faith. They're one with the Antichrist and the demons when they go into that church week after week. All you got to do is film them. Going in, film them, coming out. Now, you might not even get much of an interview out of them, but try. Just walk up to them with the camera and say, oh, are you the Diamond Brothers? Here, I'd like to ask you some questions. You may even want to pretend. Why is this a serpent simple as a dove? Because they go for flattery, especially Michael and Peter, both of them. You can even tell them, like, oh, we're giving this interview because we know you guys are very popular, and we would like to get your opinions and put you on some newscast and all that. Oh, you know. We want you to explain your position on how. Then you hit them. How can you guys go into this church after you believe that you already said the priest is a heretic? Most of the people are heretic. They really all are. You know? And then you ask them, were you praying when you were in there? That's a good question. Yeah. No, we weren't praying. Then how could you say you attended Mass if you weren't praying? Okay, so you didn't go to Mass. So then why did you go there? Oh, we went there for the Holy Eucharist. Oh, so you did receive the Holy Eucharist. Okay. Were you receiving with all the other people and you let the priest, at the hands of that priest? But you told me that priest is a heretic and you know it. A notorious heretic. Is that priest not committing sacrilege by dispensing Holy Communion? And are not those people committing sacrilege by receiving? And aren't you a partner in that crime? And aren't you in religious communion with them? I just give little people little things. Come on. Can anybody see what these guys are all about? That I always keep talking about them because they're the most dangerous because they have a lot of truth. And that's the devil has pumped them up there in the limelight and they're approaching, the higher they go up, the closer they're even getting to the devil. It was a pact. But anyway, that's my point. Here, when they believe this guy's the Antichrist, they're going in here. The false prophet. Well, this is what I'm telling you about signs and people looking for signs and wonders, right? That's a wonder to me that they can keep going in there week after week. Now, that's a wonder. Okay, more signs will be given. This journal and future journals and newsletters will track and record the non-Catholic deceivers who go by the name Catholic but are not Catholic. It will track their ever deeper descent into the world of darkness, lies, discord, chaos, passivity, and effeminacy. And it will also be a voice of God to testify against the works of darkness throughout the whole world, to announce His wrath and punishments against the wicked, and to call to conversion those who are lost. And that's the end of the article. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.